be unto you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, Dennis has covered light. Terry has covered salt. And so to complete the gospel lesson, I'm going to talk about things that Lutherans love to talk about. The law. There is a certain commonality that exists between toddlers and puppies. We love watching them wobble around on the ground because they run with this certain sense of excitement, but they do it with sort of an unsteady gait. And we find it to be fairly cute. We love the fact that they want to have our attention. And we like it that they have this grand sense of curiosity. And because they are of the age they wear themselves out quite quickly. We like it when they kind of want to snuggle with us to be able to get some rest and just to quietly feel them breathing and feel their heart beating as they lay on top of us. And we like the sensation of their fur and their hair because it's so much softer and gentler than ours. The other thing that puppies and toddlers have in common is the vocabulary they elicit from the adults around them. There is one primary word that exists within that relationship.
No!
Because we're constantly telling them no. No, don't pick that up. No, don't chew on that. No, get away from that. No, don't stand there. No, don't run. No, 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 no. We don't do it because we're evil people. We don't do it because we're on some kind of control trip. We don't do it because we don't like them. We do it exactly for the opposite reason. Do it out of love. We do it out of concern because we want to make sure that the puppy or the toddler doesn't get hurt. And so we're trying to elicit these levels of instruction within their lives to be able to help them understand what leading a good life might be all about later on down the line. How they might be able to live that life without doing damage to themselves or others. And so we offer these instructions, sometimes not as gently as we'd like, but nonetheless, we do because we love them. When I speak of love, I think of my parents. This is what you run into when you come here. So they're visiting. Now, when you have any guests that visit your house, there's a certain sense of behavioral modification that takes place, that you don't do things always the same way you do when you have guests in the house. Is that not true? So, when you have your parents in the house, there is another sense of modification that takes place because, as the good son that I am, I want to offer a sense of deference to them in their presence. As does their grandson. And so, a learning experience has taken place. That the dishes that pile up in the sink mysteriously throughout the evening and day are no longer piled there. Because some people have learned that that might not be a good thing to do because, well, grandma's cleaning the kitchen and taking care of stuff, and so we don't want to make life more difficult. And then there's that sense of deference when it comes to mealtime, that we're more apt to gather together at the table. And we're grateful for the food that is placed before us, especially since it has been prepared by someone other than me. And so within that preparation, of course, comes the decision-making process prior to that, trying to figure out what you're going to have for dinner. Now, for those of you who know me, there is this rumor going around that I don't like vegetables. I would say this isn't wholly true. I'd say there's only two types of vegetables I don't like, green ones and white ones. The rest are okay. And so we have this ongoing conversation about what we're going to have in terms of vegetables for dinner. My definition of a vegetable is different than my mother's. I look at a salad and say, well, that's a vegetable. She says, well, it's not really a good vegetable. I said, but it's still a vegetable. Doesn't that count? No. And so then there are other things that we have, and she tries to make that things that I'll actually consume that are green. But she does it out of love, because that whole weird concept we have of vegetables is that they're good for us, and that somehow, somewhere down the line, my body is going to benefit from the consumption of these horrid little green things. Love is an important concept that exists within the world. It's an important concept because it is one that isn't just about making people feel good. It's one about helping people live their lives in an appropriate manner. It is a concept that allows us to be able to share that love with people to allow them to grow and understand about how it might be best served in terms of making choices and decisions. Sometimes within that love, there is a no or a vegetable. This whole concept of rules and regulations really started a long time ago. It started when it became clear that humanity wasn't capable of living life in a good, ordered manner. When humanity wasn't able to express its love in an appropriate way, and so God established the law. The law wasn't there just to be able to batter people or smack them on the hands and say, well, you're not supposed to do that. But it was really placed before us to help us understand what it means to live a good and proper life. It's there to keep us safe. It's there to be able to help really encourage good relationships with one another. It's there to help us understand what our relationship with God is supposed to be. And so we have the law. 613 of them. There in the Old Testament. You can count them if you'd like. We're supposed to follow all of them. How do we know we're supposed to follow all of them? I don't want to follow them. I'm not Jewish. I'm a Christian. I follow the New Testament before I follow the Old Testament. Well, folks, here in the New Testament, it says not one letter, not one stroke of a letter shall be abolished before the end of times comes. We're supposed to follow all 613 of those rules. Well, I want to lean on the New Testament. Well, you can do that. So you think the Old Testament's bad? There's 1,050 of them in the New Testament. Take your pick. But you see, they're there for us in terms of living life. They're there for us in terms of how we might work with one another, how we might care for one another, how we might love one another. They're there for instruction for us in terms of how we might live in this relationship of love with God. They're there for us. When I was in, what's that place called in South Carolina? Hilton Head. I was in Hilton Head on vacation went to this restaurant in a hotel that had a seafood buffet. This was the most glorious culinary experience that I had ever been faced with. There were tables upon tables of every kind of seafood that you would ever imagine. There were tables upon tables of all kinds of different other foods. And then there was this glorious dessert table, all there for one price. Eat what you want, as much as you want. It's there. Take it. Eat it. Enjoy. Stuff your face to the gills. Go waddling home. Lie on the bed and groan that you've eaten too much. But you can do it all for one low price. And I did. And there was pain involved in the end. But it was glorious. You know, the nice thing about the buffet is you get to pick and choose exactly what you want, how much you want, whenever you want. That's the nice thing about it. Vegetables? Yeah. Whole lobster? Yeah. And so you just pick and choose and you eat it till your heart's content. The 613 and the 1050 rules, regulations, guidelines, whatever you want to call them that we find in the Bible are not, my friends, part of a buffet. You don't get to pick and choose. They're there before us for a reason. And yet, over the centuries, we want to pick and choose. We want to choose which one's more important. We want to choose which one we might want to ignore because we think we know better than God. Go ahead and stand up if you believe that's true. I'm glad none of you did. The reality is, when we talk about God's law, we like to pick and choose. And we're not supposed to. Because this isn't a buffet. This is an expectation of how we are going to live our lives. You see, when we live our lives and we follow the 613 and the 1050, we can stand on a hill as the light of the world, allowing people to understand exactly what a follower of Christ does and how they live their lives. When we live our lives in that manner, then people begin to understand exactly what the love of God is about. When Jesus was faced with the question of which of these 613, they were only talking about that time, is the most important, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Under these two rules fall everything. Everything. For the law and the prophets. Everything. Down to two. Both. Which say, love God and neighbor. And so it boils down to us to live lives of love. Where we do for God the things that we're asked to do. When we demonstrate through who we are the fact that we do love our neighbors. When we feed the hungry, when we clothe the naked, when we house the homeless, when we work to cure the sick, and when we welcome the stranger, then we fulfill that law. Then, and only then, can we stand on the hill as the light of the world proclaiming that Christ truly is King, and we will stop at nothing to live our lives in that manner. By being people who care, by being people who love, by being people who serve each and every day of our lives, not picking and choosing when we might apply that, not picking and choosing who gets the love and who doesn't get the love, but understanding that God asks, no, God demands that we live our lives in love each and every day of each and every moment for each and every person that we encounter. Because we have the ability to do that. We have been gifted by God to stand out of this place and go out into the world and do whatever it is to be able to make sure that people throughout the world are cared for. That people throughout the world are loved. That people throughout the world are led to safety, given food, given clothing, given shelter, given peace, given stability. That is what God calls us to do. We might be able to boil down those 613 laws down to two, but they're tough laws to follow because they demand us to do things that might not be part of our instinctual nature, calling us to love, calling us to care, calling us to give. When we do that, we then truly stand on the hill as the light of the world. Amen.